It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guy.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome and good morning. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Here we are, almost at the end of February. Been a little burr here in West Michigan, but it allowed our buddy Chaz to run the international ice fishing competition.
Yeah, how'd that work out for him?
I think they took sixth, but there were 11 teams, I understand. So
11 countries?
Yeah, right, yep. So I didn't get the full story on that, but that was the result. So
it's so cold. Conrad's threatening to go to Florida.
Right, I know.
Give me a week.
We'll do a remote. But anyway, hope you're still grilling or smoking in your backyard, even though we've had single digit evenings and just low teen days here, and it does change the way you do things.
Yeah, it does. But when it's this cold, I'm turning into a real wimp, and I just don't want to go outside.
Yeah.
I just look out there. It's like, So once I get all suited up, you know, I've got these Carhartt insulated bibs and all this stuff and my muck boots and all that and my Carhartt jacket.
Sounds like you're getting ready to cut wood.
Then I'm nice and warm, I don't know why I was being such a baby.
Right. Well, you know, the wind is last week after the show, I went over to a lake north of Lowell called Murray Lake, and one of my buddies was having ice fishing camp, but he put out four tents on the ice, including one of them that had a porta potty in it, you know, just like
cut a hole in the ice?
No, he didn't, but just one of those camper ones, you know, that are portable. And I don't know how we set it up off the ground so it didn't freeze, but it was a fun day. Not a lot of fish caught, but the difference is the tents, because it broke what little wind there was. But most of the day there was no wind at all, which is really rare for
ice fishing
in Michigan. So, but anyway, we had a great time. I made a big pot of chili took it out there and took my little burner. You know, a little 8-inch burner that just, you know, about a foot tall. You've seen those that are like little fish fry things. But I took the burner and a propane tank out there, and we heated up that chili. And I don't know, there's maybe 20 of us out there, and we all had a nice bowl of chili. And it was a good Michigan winter day. And coincidentally, that was the free fishing day. So because this lake is a public lake, and we did not see the DNR out there, but if we could have. You know, you got to have a license, but not that day. So Michigan is a cool place in the winter.
Yeah. You have to have a license to fish.
Right.
It's like,
well, it's been that way forever, though. It kind of supports the department.
That's what they
and supports
sell us
them.
On, but
yeah.
Does it?
Well, I don't
or
know.
Or do our tax dollars?
Everything is being questioned at this point.
Yeah,
in
it is.
America.
That's my point.
I get it. Yeah.
That's my point.
Right.
I'm pretty much in doubt of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yep. I've been believing the wrong things for so long. Conrad and I were just talking about that this morning before you came in.
Yeah.
We just kind of like been blind or asleep.
Yeah.
And
well, it's been
it doesn't matter what party you're in.
Right. No, it's not this is not a partisan thing.
No.
This is about us being trillions of dollars in debt, and none of us that live in this wonderful country that we live in can operate like that and carry that much debt load. And so why does our government do the same thing? There's no really good answer other than they're addicted to spending in Washington. And now we've got maybe a movement that'll pare some of that back.
Yeah. And I'm at the point where I just don't believe hardly anything anymore. And I don't even know if we really have that debt.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's
right.
Just
right.
The number that you see.
Well, you know, and
you hear him talking about it.
Right. The scary thing.
To who? Who do we owe that to?
Right. Yeah.
Whoever probably, bought the T-bills and
right.
bonds.
Yeah. Probably China. But
well, they have a trillion.
Yeah. So, but
Japan has 2 or 3 trillion.
Yep. And you know, then they wanted to go down to Fort Knox and see if the gold was really there.
Great.
Yeah. Exactly. Great. I'm like, and take a camera in there and show America.
Yeah.
That what we have, because that's kind of the basis of our whole economic system is having that, and it'd be just good to know. I mean, I've been on this earth, you know, over 60 years, and I've never seen it. Not in school, not in a book, not anything. I mean, you believe it's there, but is it? I'm going to say I hope I can believe that, but I don't know.
I'm what you call a silver bug.
Are you?
Yeah. And people like me that
fish hit those pretty well, I heard.
People like me that buy silver and watch the market, you have to watch gold as well as silver.
Yeah.
Because they're tied together. Right now, there's a huge disparity. I mean, silver's only $40 an ounce, and gold's knocking on $3,000.
Right. Yeah, well, precious metal.
Silver should be about half at least. Some of these specialists say it's going to be on par with gold at one point. Yeah. So, I mean.
Well, hopefully you live long enough to see that, and then you're a rich man.
Well, I've already seen it double since I bought the bulk, and I think it's going to punch through. Once it punches through $50, I think all bets are off.
There you go, man.
You can't hold it back. And you know, it's not grilling, but it is. We all need to manage our money and be smart with it.
You better.
And that's what these kids out in D.C. are doing. Right. They're watching our money.
Yeah. Watching
it. But it's amazing that, you know, they've suppressed the silver value for so long. And they do that. Bank of America is a big one that does that. They short the market, and when you buy puts and takes, you know, you can actually short sell a stock.
Hedge been a strategy forever.
Yeah.
Learned about that in college, umpteen decades ago.
Yeah,
right.
So that's what they've been doing.
Sure,
I think everybody's the cool thing about this awakening people are in. Is that people are starting to think now, and they're looking through what we always, these paradigms, these things we always consider to be God's truth, they'd say.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's not much I believe anymore.
Right. Well, here's what I believe, that we both went to a party last weekend after the show. Actually, it was before the show. It was on Friday. It wasn't on Saturday.
Yeah.
And we both went to the Jethro birthday party, and I'm going to tell you that you and I have both talked about this off air, but I was ridiculously pleasantly surprised at the Sobey Meats steaks that came off a flat top.
I know.
And there was, what, 200,
you
250
people
there?
You couldn't ask
for
a better cut of meat.
300 or so, sure.
Yeah, and I don't know how many took chicken versus steak, but our table all took steak. Without exception, this was one of the best steaks I've had in a long, long time.
Long time.
And it was perfectly.
And it was a strip.
Right. It was
perfectly
seasoned.
I'm never happy
seasoned.
With a strip.
Yeah. And you remember, I don't know, a month ago, Sobey had those on sale for $9.99. And man, what a great cut of meat.
Is that what he had?
Yeah. Yep. He had New York strips
okay.
that day at $9.99. But anyway.
Yeah, they did them on a griddle.
Right. Flat top.
Couldn't
yeah,
ask
man.
For anything.
I know.
I just kept chewing and telling my wife, I can't believe this.
Right.
This is such
a
good steak.
I thought it was great that you guys went back to the kitchen to thank the chef. I thought that was cool.
Well, that guy worked his tail off it, because here's the other thing that was really cool about that is that they cooked them to order.
Yeah.
When you ordered, and with 300 people there, he fed everybody in less than an hour. That guy was working his tail off back there. And
a short order cook,
right? And but he did it. He did it wonderfully. And
we got there 15 minutes early, and there were people already getting plated.
Sure, yeah.
Thought that was cool.
Yep, they were working
but
on it.
$25
anyway.
Bucks for that. Those three bands who were all great.
Right? Oh yeah,
and then you know, the dance floor, and then the food was. I'm sorry, gang. Next year, our prices are going to have to go up. That was ridiculous.
Incredibly good deal. You're
that,
right.
That last band was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler Gitchell and his dad and his family. Very cool. Oh, yeah. He just turned 18.
Wow.
So it's pretty amazing.
We had a lot of fun dancing.
Yeah.
My wife and I, mean.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It wasn't Bob and I, because I got two left feet, and Bob wouldn't like to lead me
we
around.
We both
like
have
that.
To lead.
Yeah.
She wants to lead half the time.
Well, you know, she's danced with you before, so that's how it works. But anyway, coming up in the rest of the show, we're going to bop around with some different barbecue styles. Bob has experienced all of these in all of these areas, and so he's somewhat of an expert on this, whether it's Memphis, Kansas City, Texas, or the Carolinas. They all have a little bit different twist. So, unfortunately, brace yourself, because Bob's going to lead the show from here, and I'm just going to chime in. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and John.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. During the segment there, or the break between these two segments, we were talking about how nothing we covered in that first segment had anything to do with grilling. But this is what the Grillin' Guys is all about. The premise of this, if you're just tuning in for the first time, is two guys standing on the deck grilling. But you got a lot of downtime when you grill, so you might have a cocktail, but then you also have great conversations with one of your buddies. And so if this is your first time tuning in, hang on, because we're going to have some more of that coming up, I guarantee it, because it never stops. But what we're trying to do here is talk a little bit about different styles of barbecue. Believe it or not, this is a real thing. And Bob has traveled the country teaching barbecue in a prior life, and so that's why he's our expert. So, Bob, what's unique about the Tennessee area, Memphis specifically?
And honestly, I'm not even comfortable with the term expert because I don't know. But my tutor, mentor was Rob Russell, and that's who I traveled with.
Yep, bless heart, rest his soul, man.
Yeah,
he's not with us anymore.
Yeah, he was quite the mentor. And a great teacher. But we had a lot of fun traveling the country teaching barbecue. And the cool thing is people will go to a barbecue class. They'll spend pretty big bucks to go and spend a night to learn how to grill better.
Well,
or barbecue.
So harken back to the day, that's how this show started, is you and I were cooking at church, right? And we had a men's night every quarter. And the food was questionable until we stepped up and said, hey,
well,
to our pastor.
I'll sharpen your memory. I met you by going to Battle Creek for a steak night, and I rode in the back seat of your Tahoe.
Right, yep, exactly. That's where we met. But then we took over, and
they punished us.
Yeah, we were cooking for this men's group, and here I go again down a rabbit trail. But you got to understand this. We were cooking for it, but one of our advisors, a guy named Greg Mosheri, noticed that while we were cooking, we were teaching. And that was because of your background. Is, first of all, the food was better. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. It's technique, and it's knowing how to do it. But then secondly, we were more about we needed help, right? Yeah. It couldn't just be the two of us.
Right.
So we had to get guys to come in.
Right.
Well, most of them didn't have the skills that you had, and I was learning from you on the way. But at the end of the day, we taught people.
Yeah.
Quarter after quarter after quarter, our group became bigger.
I remember the one we were doing ribeyes.
Yeah.
And I remember the one guy that helped us was trimming all the fat.
Right, yeah.
That whole outer cap off the ribeye.
Right.
It's like you're throwing away like 10 bucks a steak.
Right, yeah. And the best part, because fat's flavor. But anyway, I digress. Back to Memphis.
Okay.
So it's a barbecue style. Tell us a little bit about the characteristics of that.
And you know, there's a competition in Memphis every spring called Memphis in May.
Yep.
And we were bound and determined to broadcast from there long ago. We never did.
Right.
Because we'd broadcast from Kansas City at the KCBS American Royal, and that was really expensive. We didn't break even.
I don't know.
But Memphis is it's kind of cool because if you shoot to the west just a little bit, you're in St. Louis, and it's a pretty similar profile. And if you shoot west a little bit more, it's Kansas City, quite different.
Yep.
Kansas City, I would call kind of a sweeter style.
We're going to cover that in the next segment.
Yeah.
Right.
But Memphis, the way it was best described to me was by Rob Russell. And for one thing, Memphis largely just does a dry rub on their ribs, and this is – this is where they get their, I guess their notoriety is the ribs. But it's got that powdered Worcestershire sauce.
So are these baby backs or spares or both?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Right.
Now, if you go a little further west again, you're in St. Louis, and there is a cut called the St. Louis rib.
Right.
That's when you take a standard spare rib and you cut that bottom off it and square them off so that it's a uniform look.
Yep.
That's a St. Louis.
Right. And, but in Memphis, it's just...
You know what? I think that everybody likes doing baby backs better.
Yeah.
But I can't speak for everybody in Memphis, obviously.
Right. Yeah. So what makes them... Why do you call them Memphis? Is it just the cut, or is there a flavor profile?
It's the seasoning.
Right.
And if you look at different companies that make spices, if you try the Memphis style of rub, and you've had them before, you can actually buy one called Pig's Ass.
Right.
Rub some butt. There's two different companies that both make the same thing. It's the same spice company is making it.
Okay, just putting two different labels on.
These guys are competing with the same blend.
Yeah.
And I used to rep for that company, and I can tell you that we had a version of that same spice, too, and I used to give it to you.
Yeah.
And it's
one of
good.
My favorites.
It's good.
One of my favorites.
But it's truly a Memphis style.
If I remember right, the dried Worcestershire is in there, and then there's also a little bit of citrus. Just a
yes.
little bit, like a lime
yep.
flavor almost
yep.
that's
There's
in there.
There is a powdered lemon or lime. I'm going to say it's lemon, but who knows? It doesn't matter. They're pretty similar. Lemons are a little bit more tart, I guess. But that's a good point.
Yeah, and I really enjoy that flavor. And I always have a Memphis-style rub on my spice shelf. And I'll use it two ways. When I do chicken wings, now that's not traditional Memphis stuff, but I'll do chicken wings and I'll dry rub them with that Memphis. But when I want it to stick to them, I'll take a quarter cup in a Ziploc bag and maybe put like 20 wings in there. Have quarter cup of Old World Olive Company lime olive oil. That citrus profile on a chicken wing to me gives it just a little bit of punch. And I really, really like that. But I back it with a Memphis-style rub. And the combination of those two, I found when I cook those for people, they're like, oh, my gosh, what's on this, you know, wing? And I share everything. There are no secrets in
right.
my kitchen, right? Because
right.
all I want people to do is eat good food. And that's one of them that is simple. Buy a bottle of the lime-infused olive oil from Old World Olive and then put a Memphis rub on your wings or ribs, either one. Don't put so much oil on ribs as I do on the wings, just because I like it to stick.
Yeah.
On ribs, they pretty much sticks anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that actually, when we would do our chicken and ribs class, we always did the wings, and Rob insisted on using grapeseed oil
oh, yeah.
and our Memphis blend.
Right. And grapeseed oil, for those of you that don't know, it's not really a specialty other than the fact it has a high temperature smoke point.
Right.
And what I mean is that if you use regular cooking oil, you get things too hot, you get a smoky, burnt taste, and the grapeseed won't do that. It flames at a much higher temperature.
And what I've discovered by reading is that a lot of grapeseed oils are actually rancid.
Yeah.
We should ask Corey and Shasta that.
Yeah, right. I've got it there before. They don't carry it all the time, but because they're an olive oil place, not a grapeseed, but it's just weird. It's a you know just a different concoction to put it together. So we kind of just made a short stop into Memphis, and we're gonna continue down the road. As Bob said, go a little bit to the west, and there's a place called Kansas City, and this is the home of barbecue. So coming up next, Kansas City Barbecue. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit Garrett'sAppliances.com. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hey, my job or Bob?
Yeah, I don't know. Which am I?
Hey, it's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're now in the car driving from Memphis over to Kansas City.
Kansas City.
So we can talk a little bit about the differences, but the uniqueness of a Kansas City. This is where the largest barbecue competition in America happens. It's called the Royal. And it's in Kansas City. And my only great takeaway from that is that I'm not a competitive barbecue guy. I like to cook for people and feed them. I don't like to compete. But the second thing is that was the very first place I ever ate a beef rib off a smoker.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget it. I cook them now because of that. They're just so good.
And it was Rob Russell that made them.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's part of the reason why it was so good, probably a big part of the reason. Why it was so good, but
I remember you like just fawning over that rib, and I'm like, yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, it's a beef short
you
rib.
You never had one,
right?
So.
It's a beef short rib, and they
brisket on a stick is what they call it.
Yeah, exactly. It's maybe like
big, right?
10 inches, 12 inches long. Oh. It's the upper part of the rib of the cow, but they just cut them in these little shorts. And then they seasoned them. Tell me how they're made.
Sometimes you cut them short, unless you get a hold of your butcher,
right,
and tell them to cut them long.
Right.
Those that you had were cut long.
Were they?
And that makes it nicer because you have a nice big handle. It looks like a almost like a drumstick. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when they cook, the meat on them is maybe like a foot long, but when they're cooked, it shrinks down to maybe like 8 inches.
To one end.
But it goes all the way to one end. It's the way the animal is built. But then it gets about the size of maybe like a softball.
Yeah,
and it's dark, and it's flavorful, and it's a little crunchy. And, man, my mouth's just watering thinking about it.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pull some out of the freezer.
So, Bob, if I take you down this rabbit trail, can you cover – because that's a Kansas City thing – can you cover that? Give me just real quick.
Sure. But before I get to that, I'll just tell you my opinion of Kansas City barbecue is that it's a bit sweeter.
Okay.
They tend to use, like their Kansas City barbecue sauce is a sweet sauce.
Yep.
Whereas Memphis doesn't use a lot of sauce, but if they do, it's going to be a tangier.
A little vinegar in it. Yep. Yep.
And then when you get down to the Carolinas, again, it's different. Texas is different. So Kansas City is known for ribs, but it's probably more known for brisket because of the KCBS, and that's where the Kansas City Barbecue Society got its start.
Makes sense.
And it was just a little backyard club.
Right.
Now it's turned into a giant money-making scheme.
Right. So I bet that most of our listeners out there have not tried to cook a beef rib on their grill or smoker.
I bet you're right.
And it's a smoker. To me, it's a smoker idea, not a grill.
Yeah.
But can you just break that down a little bit on how those are made? Because I think this is something that, you know, wet your finger and write this down and dust on your dash, because this is a good one.
Yeah, and there's ways you can do that vary, obviously. I always have my butcher, we buy a cow once a year, and I have the processor cut those ribs into singles.
Right.
Because when I smoke beef ribs, I want to have seasoning all the way around that thing.
Right.
And smoke all the way around it. And then when you get done smoking it, it's staying true to itself. It just, that muscle pulls up to one end.
Right.
And it can do that consistently. Now, if you leave them all attached, it'll do the same thing. You'll just end up with a rack that's, you know, 3 inches of bone on the bottom and then a great big thick end at the other end.
Right. And they are better than, I agree with you, to cut them up individually because you want that seasoning and smoke all the way around them so you got it in every bite.
Right.
And
and then you're gonna hand them out, right? You're going to serve people. So now it's, you're not trying to cut a cooked rib, which can be a little awkward because if you overdo it a little bit, it might be wanting to fall off the bone.
Right.
Which is how my wife likes them. It's not the proper.
That's a little overdone for me.
It's not the proper way to do it, according to, you know, competition barbecue.
Yeah, they want a little tug.
Yeah.
They still want it to come off the bone clean, but they want a little tug.
Yeah.
So, first of all, what kind of seasoning are you putting on there? And then two, give us 30 seconds of how to cook it.
Well, a Kansas City profile for a seasoning is going to go towards paprika. It's going to be a red seasoning. And you're still going to have the Worcestershire, powdered Worcestershire. You're still going to have the powdered onion, pepper, and salt. But you're going to have more sugar and paprika.
Okay.
So it's going to be a red look.
Right. A little bit sweeter. Not a lot of heat.
And paprika is just a roasted pepper, right?
Yeah.
Roasted red Hungarian pepper.
Right.
Sometimes they'll smoke it, and you'll see smoked paprika.
Right. Yeah, but ground really fine, dried out, ground really fine, and that becomes the paprika powder that's in a lot of seasonings or in your spice rack.
And you'll love this part because it has the placental fiber.
Well, Bob loves that part. I don't really care about that. You know, it's something that, I don't know, it's stuck in his head.
Yeah, again, when you do those classes, that was part of the education was to teach people what capsicum is.
Right,
and
that's in a pepper.
Why it's important? It's that fiber in a pepper. So, like people will tell you, oh, you know, the seeds make jalapenos hot. No, the seeds don't make it hot. It's the placental fiber.
Right.
So you can take all the seeds out, and it's not, you're not changing a thing. If you take all that fiber out, you're losing the capsicum for one thing.
Right, and it'll be a lot more mild.
Yeah.
So we've got the rib seasoned up with this profile. Now I want to cook it. What temperature you smoke them, and how do I know when it's done?
I would say guys who have smokers and do a lot of smoking, what's your favorite comfort zone?
Right, like 250 to 275. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's where you're going to
do everything.
Right.
You find your comfort zone and you just stay there.
Right.
Now,
because you know your equipment performs at that level, right?
Well,
and you don't overcook things.
Right. And if it's a pellet grill, you're still producing smoke. If you look at a barbecue thermometer,
mm-hmm.
it calls it barbecue up to 350 degrees.
Right.
Now, why is that?
Because you're still getting smoke.
At 350, you don't produce smoke anymore.
Right.
Now you're grilling.
Right. Yep.
And that's just the science of combustion, right?
Right.
So that's why barbecue thermometers on grills and different pieces of equipment, sometimes it'll be an analog dial.
Right.
Yep. That's how you know you need a new grill. No.
Now that's old school, baby. That's what I've got on the Goodwin smoker. We still got one of those.
Yeah.
I think you backed it into a tree and tore it off. It took me a minute to find a new one, but I did, and it's back on there. So that's good.
Yeah. So it'll be like it's like a range.
Sure.
Barbecue. Grilling,
yeah,
and I don't know what the fourth one is.
Too hot,
hotter than hell.
Yeah,
yeah, and that goes to like 450 or 500.
Right, yeah.
But should
never get your smoker that hot ever.
Well, you know, you like to get your wings kind of crispy. So if you don't have a deep fryer and you want to crisp up your wings,
yeah,
you can crank it up at the end.
Open the damper and let her go. Right.
Get a little crispy.
Yeah. So. How do I know when those ribs are done?
We're talking beef ribs.
Right, the beef ribs. Yeah.
Well, if you have them separated or not, it's going to be the same thing. It's when you see a certain amount of bone sticking out. Now, if you had your butcher cut them long, you're going to have more bone sticking out. But if you just look at the muscle itself, you're going to see when it contracts up to one end. You know you're close.
Right.
So now you got to pull one out and you got to try it.
There you go. There's the money shot right there.
Yeah.
Just try one. And again, it needs to, it'll have a little crisp on the outside if I know that it's done.
Yeah.
And when you bite it, you got to tug a little bit to get it to come off the bone, but it should come off clean.
Yeah, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap it then in butcher paper.
Okay.
And
why do you do that?
I might put a little Worcestershire sauce on it.
Okay.
Or a little something to
just spritz
it up. Just
moisture right at the end.
Add a little.
Yep. Yep. And when you wrap it in that paper, it's going to steam a little bit.
Yep.
And then it's going to, you know, be come off the grill or
and
smoker.
And I always
moist.
Use pink butcher paper. I never use aluminum foil.
Right.
And there's more and more reports now coming out. And I think you'll see with Bobby Kennedy, he's going to blast all these things that are not good for us.
Right. And but how can anything be bad off a grill? Come on, man. I mean, this is the Grilling Guys.
When you see aluminum foil melting on your meat,
yep.
then you know it's not all good.
Right. Coming up next, we're headed a little southwest of Kansas City. We're going to Texas. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. We also offer catering. From baked goods and coffee to sandwich platters and salads, we have something for everyone and every occasion. Let us make your next meeting or event simple and easy. We also can deliver. Check out our menu online or give us a call. Mention the Grilling Guys and receive a free cookie tray on your first order. Wealthy Street Bakery, your local caterer. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back, Yardless, the Grilling Guys. We're traveling around the south and the west talking about barbecue today. And if you're just tuning in, you miss Memphis and Kansas City. But hang on, we're driving to Texas now. And I've got family in Texas, so this is probably a place where I've been the most and eaten Texas barbecue.
Yeah? Where did you go for barbecue?
Well, I've been to San Antonio, and then...
No, the specific restaurant.
Oh, Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Yep.
Yep.
So, but there's a lot of just, I call them Bubba's, right? I mean, you're just driving down the road, there's a little sign that says... You know,
Bubba's barbecue.
This family barbecue up on the left, and you know that if you roll in there and there's a line of people waiting for them to open at like 10 or 11 in the morning, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to stop
and
here.
And why do you suppose the sign says BBQ?
Right, I don't know.
Because they can't spell barbecue.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Oh, busting on our Texas friends, yeah.
But no, it's all of us barbecue guys. Yeah, right. We're not the sharpest tools in the shed. Yeah, so Texas. Texas is quite unique. Now, they of course, you've got Franklin's and all these places that these guys sharpen their skills on the KCBS tour.
Right.
So they brought a lot of, you know, that brings a lot of flavor to the industry. So they're not as pigeonholed as they used to be. But typically, if you were a Kansas City guy like I was, you would call Texas style. I personally thought they did a lot of things that I did not care for. One was, number one, they never trimmed a brisket.
Right. Yeah. And so to me, when I hear Kansas City and Memphis, I immediately go to pork. When I hear Texas, I add in beef because Texas is cattle country. Right. And there's a lot of beef. We talked about beef ribs.
It's their claim to fame.
Right. But it's their claim to fame. But brisket is what I think if you talk to,
yeah.
to 20 brisket guys in, or barbecue guys in Texas, they're all going to brag about their brisket.
Theirs is the best.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And so brisket is.
Because they haven't had ours.
Right. Yeah. Brisket is another cut of meat that's a challenge to cook until you figure it out.
Well, how they do it differently there is, number one, they've traditionally. Texas guys wouldn't trim the brisket. Another thing is they'll cook it fat side up,
yep,
which is crazy,
right?
Because they think that fat running through the meat makes it moister. It doesn't. It doesn't. It just adds grease.
Yeah.
So, and they also leave all the fat on there, and then they take a meat axe and they just chop it up. Most of their brisket is just chopped.
Right.
So if you don't trim it properly, you'll have lots of fat. And then by chopping it up, you're not making anybody gag.
Right, you're mixing it in. Now, so let's step back. if you've cooked a brisket, you know this. If you haven't, we're going to talk about it. When you get a whole brisket, it's a really unique piece of meat because on one end, there's called the flat, and on the other end is called the point or the deckel.
Yep.
That's synonymous, those two names. But on that...
And
that,
the point actually has the deckel on it.
On it, right.
And that is what makes it a point.
Right.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, my point is this is a unique piece of meat in that on one end, it might be 2.5 inches thick. On the other end, it might be 8 inches thick. So therein lies your first issue is that how do I get it done the right way when I've got one end that's
right
a half or a third
typically,
as thick as the other
if
end.
If it's a full brisket, you'd call it a packer brisket.
Right.
And I just saw one the other day in the supermarket. They were on sale for like $4.99 a pound, and not a horrible price. But and I'm going to say that point end was 3.5 inches thick, and the flat is typically down to around 1.5 to 2, and the flat is what we used to consider to be like less than our favorite piece, and that's because we were making them wrong, and the way I was taught is the way we taught the classes. We did it all the same way. But what I migrated to over the years, and I think you'll back me up on this, is to find those two muscles and find out where that point really starts and starts climbing the hill, so to speak,
right,
getting
yep.
gradually taller. And then I'm going to cut across that brisket on an angle because it's usually at an angle it takes off. And then I'm going to do those in two separate pieces. So when I wrap...
again with butcher paper.
First of all, that flat is going to come to 145 faster than the point.
Right.
But yeah, I want to wrap in butcher paper.
So you're going to wrap at 145. We'll take a little rabbit trail here. Why is that? Is that once the surface temperature of a piece of meat gets 145, the smoke doesn't go in. It sits on top. That muscle tightens up, and it will not accept any penetrating smoke any longer. Now you're stacking it on top. And when you keep stacking it on top, you're going from really good smoky flavor to bitter.
And Rob Russell was death on that.
Yeah, right.
Yep. We pounded that home in the classes.
Right, because you will take what is going to be a wonderful smoky piece of brisket and turn it into a bitter something that you don't really want to eat
if you don't wrap
at this 145.
You'll also do that by trying to use green wood to smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes it bitter.
Right.
But a lot of these guys with these... Oklahoma Joes or these Southern Prides or these they've got a spot for a log in there. Like Dickie's Barbecue is a chain, right?
Right.
They put green logs in there because they claim it lasts longer.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
It also makes
seasoned wood in your fireplace makes heat.
It makes
green wood makes smoke.
But it makes your meat blacker.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the bitterness.
Right.
That's the heartburn.
So at 145 you're gonna wrap that
yep.
flat and wrap that point.
Yeah. Now with the brisket in particular, I'm gonna be really particular because it can dry out.
Yep.
Ribs I don't find really dry out, they're so fatty. Butts don't really dry out, they're so fatty.
Right.
But
the flat will dry out more than the point will, because the point has a layer of fat between the two muscles that you don't want to take out.
Right.
And
what's the other thing in there?
Collagen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's right.
Collagen is good for you.
If you slap somebody on the face with a piece of brisket, you're doing them a favor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You can sell that stuff in a bottle for $99.99 to the ladies. Yeah.
Wow.
So you don't have to be afraid of that.
Right. Right.
It's so, just like a flat iron steak has the same thing.
So then you've got these things wrapped now, and all you're trying to do from the point you wrap it to the point you finish is get it up to temperature, right? Because you're not going to put any more smoke on it. The wraps prevents that, which is great. You don't want to layer it up and make it bitter. But I'm at around 204, 205 that I'll get that internal temp of that meat off. I pull it off and let it rest.
And
this is a big thing. Let it rest.
Here's the tricky part. I do like to hydrate it a little bit.
Right.
And with butcher paper, it's a little harder to do, right?
Right.
But if you cut your sheets in long, big pieces.
Right.
And then you put that brisket, that piece of meat down in there, like let's say it's just the flat.
Right.
and then you take each end of it and wrap it up around it a little bit and make sort of a U-shape out of it, you can take your mixture, and I typically will take a beef broth and a Worcestershire, mix them like 10 to 1. And I'm going
to 10 broth to 1 Worcestershire.
Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle that on there. And then I'm going to fold it over. And as I keep folding it and flipping it over, that that juice is just going to disperse. And you won't end up with a problem.
Right. It's not sitting in a pool of it now. It's kind of all over it.
Yeah, and you're not putting that much in anyway.
Right. Yeah, just a little hydration because you're creating a little bit of a sealed area that the brisket's sitting in, and you don't want it to dry out.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have to do that, but I agree that it adds a layer of flavor that's really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for brisket, I think it's just kind of necessary.
Yeah.
I just want to remind people to go to our website. It's called thegrillingguys.com, and check it out. On the right-hand side, you'll see our sponsors. Click on those links if you want to check out the products. You might even buy something. If you do, we might make a couple shekels.
Right.
And this is a business. It has to make money.
Right.
Hate to tell you. But we're going to add a few new links to that real quick.
Speaking of business, it's time for us to wrap up the show. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We are the Grilling Guys. Reach out to our website, as Bob said. There's lots of great recipes and great companies on there.
Oh, yeah. Also, on the top right, you'll see a headset.
Right.
That's how you download the podcast.
Right.
And on the bottom, it'll say Jethro Live. Mm-hmm. You click on that, and it'll stream you through radio, some app. I don't know, Conrad.
Tune in app.
Yeah. So it's a great thing. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.